Hey there, friends. Welcome to the Taking Your Next Step podcast from Collegians for Christ. Through each episode, we will journey together focusing on knowing what you believe and why you believe it. If you are eager, like I am, to strengthen your faith, then take your next step now by joining us in today's episode.
We're considering our theme of knowing God better, discovering who God truly is. And as we do that, over the next 3 weeks, we will look at this truth about forgiveness. There may be no greater way outside of Jesus Christ that you and I can know God in a greater way. Why is that? Because if you look at God and you look at Scripture, you see everything is summed up around this idea of God's forgiveness to you and I. And I think the more we can understand the extent of God's forgiveness in our lives, it'll help us to understand more about Him. And then as you and I are challenged, if you will, as we deal with people, we're to love God with all our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But then He tells us we're to love other people. And as we do that and we rub shoulders with people, we're gonna have to forgive other people. We're gonna have to be forgiven. And so that is a great way for you and I to truly know who God is. But first, I want to begin to discover the extent of God's forgiveness for you and I. That will help us to understand the basis from which we are to forgive others. So when we think about forgiveness in our own lives, what does it cover as far as God's forgiveness? Is it only our past sins? What about when we sin after we're saved? The question comes up, how can I be saved if I'm still sinning? Are we no longer saved if we continue in sin? If not, how is that possible? I think as we look into Scripture and understand the true extent of God's forgiveness, it will answer all of those questions for us and give us a strong basis from which you and I need to forgive other people. We come to the book of Romans. That'll be our base text here, and it provides great detail on the teaching of what biblical salvation is. He goes into great detail of what happens at the moment a person calls on Jesus Christ to save them. He's teaching the extent of God's forgiveness in our lives. And so the key to understanding the extent of God's forgiveness is understanding what Jesus accomplished on the cross. So we come to Romans chapter 3. He says this in verse number 22, "Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus." And so as we discover the extent of God's forgiveness, first we see God offers forgiveness freely to you. And so we're forgiven freely by faith. He says we're justified freely by His grace. That is a free gift. Through the redemption, that means we're let go for a price or your penalty has been paid. That is in Christ Jesus. So faith is what? We're forgiven freely by faith. But what is faith? There's a lot of definitions you can look at. I define it this way. Faith is ventured trust in a person or object. And honestly, your faith is all about the object of your faith. We're venturing trust in a person, that of Jesus Christ. So the more we know about Him and the truth about Him and the certainty about Him, the more we understand how true and founded our faith is. But to understand ventured faith, an airplane helps me to understand it very easily. I can stand and look and see the wings and see the tires, the engines. I can see a pilot inside of it. I can know all the aerodynamics about a plane, and I can know everything about it. That is intellectual knowledge about something. But until I step onto the plane, I'm not placing my trust or venturing trust in that object. So the moment you and I call on Jesus Christ, we believe on Him, we are venturing trust in Him, and we are therefore justified or freely forgiven by the faith that is in Jesus Christ. It is faith in Jesus that justifies us. At the very moment you call on Him, you are what the Bible talks about as justified. And I want us to understand that, because that is a powerful, powerful biblical doctrine. Justification is this. It's God's legal transaction where He forgives all of our sin and then gives us Jesus's righteousness, or what we refer to as His sinless record. You see, it is justification that allows sinners to be declared righteous in God's sight. That's why how can I be saved and still sin? It's because of justification. We are legally declared righteous in God's sight. Notice we're declared righteous, not made righteous. Okay, there's a big difference in that. And so as we look at justification, there are two parts to justification. Number one, God takes away a negative. That negative is our sin. This is the forgiveness of sins. And notice this, it covers our past, our present, and our future sins. So God takes away that negative, our sin, but then He adds a positive too. He adds Jesus' sinless life onto our account. He imputes or He credits Jesus' sinless life to your account. And that's how He declares you righteous, even though you are not righteous. He does not make us righteous, but He declares you and I righteous. So what does God see when He looks at you? He does not see what you were, but He sees what you are. He does not see you as the dirty, rotten sinner. He sees you as the justified sinner, the one that has received the sinless life of Jesus Christ on your account. You can think of justification as a legal transaction in court. God is the judge. God has a law, and it demands a legal requirement. God will be the judge to judge those who have... Are you guilty or innocent? Have you broken my law? Well, the Bible says we're all sinners and we've all broken God's law. Romans 3:23, we read that. So we're guilty and sentenced to separation from God and death and hell. Then Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. That's why we die. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have a payment that must be made. But then Jesus died on the cross to take your place. But God commendeth His love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He took your guilty sentence. And calling on Him, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Calling on Him or believing in Him applies His sinless account to yours. So justification is this, and this is very important. It is a completed transaction. It is not continual. It is not progressive. It is one and done, and thankfully so. And that's how you and I can be a sinner, but be declared righteous in God's eyes. That's how we can be saved, but still sin. And so we are forgiven freely by faith, and we are forgiven freely by grace. Grace is simply getting what you do not deserve. It is that free gift. And so we're saved by grace through faith. What were we when Jesus died for us? We were sinners. And so God's forgiveness is not based on how bad or how good you were. You see, we're saved by faith through grace, and that not of ourselves, it's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. You see, it's based on justification, God's forgiveness is, which is complete. Psalm 103:12 says this, as far as the east is from the west, so far hath He removed our transgressions from us. Think about what this passage is teaching. If you look on a globe, you see we have a North Pole and a South Pole. North Pole is where Santa Claus is, right? South Pole is as far as you can go south, and there's maybe some penguins there and ice. But North and South Poles have a stopping point. They stop at a certain point. So if you go north, you'll stop at a pole. If you go south, you'll stop at where? The South Pole. But consider the contrast here. God chose these two words very specifically. He could have said, as far as the north is from the south. But no, He said, as far as the east is from the west. Why? Because east never has an ending point. West never has an ending point. God is saying He has forgiven any and every sin that we have or ever will commit. There's not a point that you come to stop that is east. You continue going east, 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 and you can just circle the globe going east. You can circle the globe many times going west. There's never a stopping point. What is Jesus saying? God is saying through His Word that I have forgiven you all your sins, past, present, and future. And so Jesus died for us when we were ungodly. He is not asking or demanding that you and I get every single thing right before we come to Him. And since we're forgiven by grace, then our forgiveness is not determined by our efforts or our behavior. And if it's not determined by our efforts to receive it, then it cannot be determined by our efforts to keep it. Do you see that? That's why we're saved. It's final. It's done. It doesn't matter how bad you may mess up afterwards. Salvation is a present possession. You're not waiting to be saved. You are already saved. You're not waiting to have your sins forgiven at some future event or when you die. They are already forgiven. And so we're forgiven by faith, freely by grace. And we're forgiven freely by the blood of Jesus. It says in Romans 3:25, whom God hath set forth to be a propitiation. That means a sacrifice that was satisfying, to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission, the removal of sins that are passed through the forbearance of God. So God's law requires justice. There cannot be a workaround. And that's where I think we struggle sometimes in our mind. Well, how can God look at me and I be sinless? How can God forgive me of my sin? One, and how can he forgive me of my sin when I keep sinning? God's law requires justice. This is not a workaround. This is not a sneak around, if you will. We're forgiven freely because of Jesus' blood. It was the sacrifice that God's law demanded, and it was 100% accepted, which means you and I are 100% forgiven. The entire Old Testament revealed that sin must be covered by blood. That's why when you go to the Old Testament, you see the animals, you see the sacrifices, but it says that the blood of bulls and goats could never fully remove sin. It was the sinless blood of Jesus that 100% satisfied the justice of God. It fulfilled that legal requirement to have our sins forgiven. You're not forgiven because God chose to, but because Jesus sacrificed his life for you. You're not forgiven because God loves you, but because Jesus' blood satisfied God's law. It's still true that God loves us. So God forgives us freely. He offers us that forgiveness freely, but God offers forgiveness completely to you. As we fast forward to Romans chapter 5, it says this, therefore, knowing all this, we are justified by faith. We have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And he goes in and begins to list all that you and I have. And it says this, but God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. So forgiveness first produces peace. The result of justification is this, peace with God. So before we were justified, we didn't have peace with God. Why is that? Because of our sin. Sin separates us from God. It makes us an enemy of God. We are against him. We have unrest. But after justification, we can have mental rest. We can have a quiet heart. So forgiveness produces peace, but it also, in verse number 2, by whom we also have access, by faith, into this grace wherein we stand. Faith produces access. Justification gives you and I access to God. Justification gives you a new standing. Before Jesus, you were standing as a sinner, guilty and condemned. But after Jesus, you are standing as a sinner, not guilty and uncondemned. So forgiveness produces access, but it also, forgiveness must not be abused. Some people would say, well, if all my sins are forgiven, that just means I can go out and do whatever I want. And maybe some people would take that thought process. And that is an argument people bring against the biblical truth of salvation being freely given, that you must work for it, you must earn to keep it. But that's not the case. And Paul deals with that. He says this, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? God has declared us sinless. He has not made us sinless. You will still sin after you are saved. Paul dealt with that in Romans chapter 7 as he walks through all this. In verse 14, he says, for we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that I do. What does he say? He says there is this battle that is constantly going on. The things that I want to do, I don't do. The things that I don't want to do, that I do. You experience that every single day of your life. He tells us in Galatians chapter 5, for the flesh lusteth against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So there's going to be a battle. But you and I should not abuse forgiveness. We cannot use forgiveness as an excuse to do whatever we want. Why is that? Why can we not sin whenever we want to since we are forgiven? It would be abusing the gift of forgiveness. It would be mocking the death of Jesus. It breaks our relationship with God. That's a big part of it. It would be hypocritical. We say we are one thing, but we're acting another. And I think a big part of forgiveness here, lastly, is forgiveness must be realized. You and I need to live in the victory that Jesus has provided. You and I can be free from the sins that have a hold on us. We have the power in us. The Holy Spirit can energize us and give us the strength and the mental capability to be free from it. You and I, Satan wants to come back and say, look, you're rotten. God has forgiven you, but look at you. Look at your life. Look at your mind. Look at your thoughts. Look at all that you've done. You're just a big mess up. But Paul said this, as a result of our salvation, as a result of the justification, there is therefore now no condemnation. You are not guilty. Nobody can say you're guilty. You are not guilty to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And he says this, you and I need to live in the freedom that Jesus has provided. He has freed you from the guilt of your past. He has freed you from the control of Satan in your life. And you and I need to live in the joy that Jesus has provided. You can live a joy-filled life despite your shortcomings and flaws. Why? You've been freely forgiven. Who are you? You are innocent. So in discovering the extent of God's forgiveness, we must what? Stop using God's forgiveness as an excuse to sin. If we're going to take our next step through this study, we're going to say, okay, I can't use God's forgiveness in my mind, in my heart, as an excuse for sin. We cannot abuse the grace of God in our lives. But then we need to strive to be more like Jesus. You see, the more you become like Jesus, the more you replicate His lifestyle, His manners, His behaviors, the less you will sin. Why is it? Because He was sinless. So we need to stop using God's forgiveness as an excuse to sin. We need to strive to be more like Jesus, and we need to live in the freedom of God's forgiveness. Hold your head up, child. You are a child of God, and live in the victory that God's forgiveness gives to you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen. If this podcast has been helpful to you, please share it with a friend or subscribe to stay up to date on the latest episodes. You can connect with Collegians for Christ online for more information and resources at cfccampusministry.com.